fellow paranormal aficionados, welcome back to Haunted 518. Today's episode is a super short, but super sweet episode, because there was just enough to talk about in this, the area that we'll be delving into. But first, as always, let me go ahead and crack what I'll be drinking. So I am drinking from Druthers, their all-in IPA. It's just delicious, and it is a whopping 6.5% alcohol, and it's just a really great, refreshing IPA. And so I thought something to feel great on the palate, something crisp and refreshing and just reliable would fit, be a good fit for this really short but sweet episode. And I need to remember to take an actual sip of the drink, even though I just talked about it. I could easily just jump into the story, so... That's good. That's important, right? And it's delicious. I've never really had anything at Druthers that has disappointed me. So jumping back into it. Nobody wants to go to jail, but what if the jailhouse was haunted and you were free to leave after a few hours? The company Haunted Nights will be hosting a paranormal investigation tour of what they describe as this very active old Washington County Jail and historic Salem Courthouse in Salem, New York. So the old Washington County Jail and courthouse were both used in use as recently as the 1990s. The courthouse and jail has held a lot of spirit activity in the prison cells where numerous prisoners committed suicide, as well as the basement where showers were located. The old Washington County Jail is also home to the historic courthouse in Salem, New York. This I will post a picture of the historic courthouse in Salem. It's really beautiful and old and like stately looking. So there have been two courthouses in Salem. There was an original wood jail, the first built in 1796 on North Main Street. It was a wood jailhouse, and the buildings were relocated to East Broadway, where the courthouse stands today. And then you can go into some of the jail cells blocks, and they are tiny and creepy looking. And if you look closely, you can look for a peephole that the guards on the inside would open to see who's entering. There's also a long, lengthy, typical guard walk, which is the corridor where the guards would patrol while keeping an eye on the prisoners. And according to a website called novaspies.com, there has been a lot of activity in the jail prison cells where more than one prisoner committed suicide, as well as the basement and the showers were how I mentioned, and the segregation or third floor prison area. The group Haunted Nights occasionally do paranormal tours of what they describe as extremely active. And then, so I would say you could get a look at the individual cells, which are approximately 6 by 8 feet with 8-foot ceilings. Potentially you could even go there for a haunted tour. You can see the juror's box inside the historic courthouse, the courthouse floor, and the judge's bench. It is definitely like older and not decrepit by any means, but it's creepy looking. There's a total of 36 cells in the Washington County Jail, and the inmates were allowed 1 hour a day to be outside in the yard. Aside from that, they spent 23 hours a day there. And so if you take one of the Haunted Nights tours, you do have to sign a Haunted Nights waiver when purchasing the ticket. So definitely interesting. And Haunted Nights, I believe, is owned by, run and owned by, co-owned by Steve Brott, who I had on way back in episode, I think 3 or 4, who was managing at the time the Saratoga County Homestead in Galway, which is its own story unto itself, has been featured on Destination Fear, which I've definitely talked about before. So check out the Salem Jail and the Salem Courthouse, and definitely get yourself some tickets if they're still doing tours post COVID to that. And now this story, this next story is called Buried. "Here's a story for you," said the young man at a book signing. "It happened at a cemetery near my home. Randy was a personable man with a passion for epitaphs. He and his wife often meander through cemeteries in Washington County, New York. One day, Rebecca, a coworker, told him of the old burying ground, a cemetery in Salem, New York, which contains the graves of many Revolutionary War veterans. He put it on that weekend's agenda. He and Ann, his wife, and Alyssa, too, went to the stone wall enclosed cemetery on a sunny day. It was breezy, a wonderful day to peruse gravestones etched in no longer fashionable styles. Here was a hand motif, there was a weeping willow designed, and beyond, a grim skull. Some stones contained sacred scripture. Laid to rest there were teachers, soldiers, lawyers, and families that had settled in Salem before the 1800s. After about a half hour of wandering, with Randy holding Alyssa in his arms the entire time, the child broke into a scream. "What's wrong?" he asked. The little girl raised her hand, in which was embedded a 1-inch-long wooden sliver. The flesh around it was red, and blood oozed from the wound. Randy and Ann both tried to extract it, but to no avail. "Well, we'd better get her to an emergency room," he said. They hurried out to the gateway to the family car. Randy handed the baby to Ann in the front seat, who said, "I've got some wipes in the glove compartment. At least I can clean outside of the wound." With Alyssa in her lap, Ann inspected the child's hand. "Maybe I've got the wrong hand." Ann tried another, and it had no sliver either. Neither hand had a blood spot on it, or even a pink spot. The parents stared at one another. "Who's ever going to believe this?" mumbled Randy. They returned home satisfied with that day's adventure. At work on Monday, Randy overcame his reluctance and shared Saturday's experience with Rebecca. "I know you're not going to believe this," he said as he spilled out the tale. She said to him, "That's not the first strange story I've heard about the place. Don't you realize how many doctors are buried where you're walking? Could some energy or unseen hand of a long-dead physician have reached out from the grave to heal his child?" That thought was even more incredible than the experience that Randy's family had been through. "I have walked among those gravestones, as Randy and I did. And in fact, I've moved to Salem." And this is David J. Pitkin talking, the author. "To date, I have turned up gravestones for Dr. Abram Allen, Dr. Asa Fitch, Dr. Joseph Toom," I love that one, "Dr. Thomas Clark, and Dr. Seth Brown. Local history lovers assure me that there are as many as 9 physicians buried in that acre. Many of them served in the Revolution and were interred with honors. This allotment of doctors and surgeons seemed unusual to me. Randy's story is what I call a head-scratcher. It has no rational explanation. Ghost story fans will easily want to believe Salem's buried doctors are still working on the spirit plane, if no longer in their offices." And then next, we're going to pop over to Greenwich, and that will be our third and last story of the day. This one is called Eyes and Faces. Corliss Avenue is a residential section of Greenwich, an old factory town in upstate New York. "We lived in a house there for 19 years, Judy said, and it certainly kept us on our toes. It was run down when we moved in. Then, seeing the house's possibilities, we began remodeling, thinking we may buy rather than rent. It was built by my father, by the father of Edna Ryan, our landlady, who died soon after we began renting. There was talk her son would soon have an office there, but he never moved in. When my husband and I were putting up gypsum board, he said he felt watched. I agreed. We used to leave a light on downstairs and when we went to bed. One night when our son and girlfriend came in through the door, he said he could see a man seated in the recliner, but nobody was there when he opened the door. One night, my husband and I awoke at the same time. I could see 3 sets of red eyes in the air on his side of the bed. He saw 2 sets of eyes moving over him. He jumped up and demanded, 'In the name of God, what is this?' The eyes disappeared. We searched, but nobody was there. Over time, all kinds of things disappeared. Once, some checks we'd left in plain sight turned up in a dresser drawer months later, where we would have never have put them. A watch disappeared from my jewelry box, but returned a few days later. My husband's trousers disappeared, but were found on a hanger in the closet a few days afterward. At first, we doubted ourselves, but there were so many unexplained events that we knew someone or something else was the culprit. Their son, who now works in law enforcement, remembers other strange events. One year near Christmas, the light in the hallway began to turn itself on. Whenever it did that, the car horn would go off in the driveway. We all questioned one another, but nobody admitted causing the mischief. Dad finally checked the wiring, but found nothing. Then the light activity became less frequent, but didn't stop entirely. When our family lived on Bleecker Street before coming to Corliss Avenue, we used to close off a room during the winter, so my brother and I shared a bedroom. The bedroom light hung on a low cord, and sometimes we'd look up to see it swaying, but there was no breeze. Our dog Damien used to sleep in the kitchen and often would whine and stare intently at something. He'd get out of his basket and go to the doorway between the kitchen and bedroom, lay down and pant as if he was worn out. Lots of times as I dropped off to sleep, I'd hear voices like a radio, but nobody had one on. Once I looked from my bed out into the hallway at grandmother's mirror, and I could see the reflections of small white moving images beneath my bed. For a while, I thought they were my socks, but they weren't. Living today in another upstate town, he says paranormal events follow him. When he attended the State University of Plattsburgh and stayed in McDonough Hall, he awoke to see a uniformed soldier standing in the room. Then it disappeared. In all likelihood, he has a strong sensitivity to the other side. Recently, in the Corliss Avenue house in Greenwich, Judy fell asleep quickly one night, but awoke suddenly to see two faces in the air over her. Her husband was just coming to bed as he entered the bedroom, and he felt a cold breeze pass into the hall as the faces disappeared. Judy screamed. "It's one thing to know you've got ghosts in your house," she said, "but it's entirely different when you have to look them in the face." She grimaced. Oh, that's creepy. And, those stories were from David J. Pitkin's book, Ghosts of the Northeast. So, that's interesting. And then also the story about the jail was from Q1057.com. So definitely a interesting place that I really recommend checking out. So just as promised, super short but super sweet. I didn't want those stories to go untold, and I didn't want to graze over the Greenwich, Salem area, because even if there's one story, I feel like it's worth hearing. So on that note, thanks for stopping by, and as always, big cheers and happy haunting.